So one of the things, okay, so we camp at this spot just by the bottom of the falls. And when we were sitting right there one evening, there's a pole that sticks out amongst the rapids there. Excuse me. And at a certain light in the evening, it looks like a woman standing there with her arm up holding an eagle feather.
This is Karen Dadenman. She's from Trout Lake, Ontario. I met her at Grassy Narrows Youth Gathering, where she was teaching youth how to make traditional hand drums.
Trout Lake is the most northerly community of Treaty 3. However, we don't have a reserve. And because of that, nobody really knows who we are or has ever heard of us. We've been, so our community members have membership in several different other First Nations, for example, Lac Seul, Grassy Narrows, Wabascon, Pecanjikan.
8 years ago, the Ministry of Natural Resources in Ontario surveyed the river system and asked companies to bid on three separate areas to develop for hydropower. Big Falls was one of those areas.
In about 8 years ago, MNR, the Ministry of Natural Resources, decided to do a survey of all the rivers in Ontario and document all the places that were developable for hydroelectric power. And at no time did they consult with any First Nations or municipality or anybody about it. They just decided to do this. And the Trout Lake River was one of those rivers, and they had found three places that could be developed. They chose Big Falls because there's a road right beside it, and there's a power line right beside it. So they put that up for auction to in the hydro journals, hydro websites, and to see who would bid on developing it. And the first time there was no response. First deadline passed and nobody bid anything. So they did it again, and Horizon Inc., Horizon Hydro Inc., made a proposal, and MNR accepted that. And again, at no time while putting it up for auction, did they consult with anybody.
Right. Now, the power that they can produce there, is that something that your community needs or
no.
Any communities anywhere?
Well, they just finished a really elaborate hydro project in Ear Falls, and they partnered with Lac Seul First Nation with that. And they're not operating to capacity. They're operating about 70% of what they could, and it's because they can't sell the power.
The Lac Seul station is a 12-megawatt station that produces 50 gigawatt hours annually. Ontario Power Generation, who own and operate the station, say that Lac Seul First Nation have a 25% equity partnership. OPG says that the station is connected to the province's power grid, effectively providing energy to 5,000 homes.
You had also mentioned as the dam, if the dam gets built, if there's a possibility that mercury could flow down the river.
The MNR in Red Lake refused to do a mercury study, but it's inevitable that methyl mercury would be created out of a dam, and that of course would go right on through Grassy Narrows waters.
The MNR website say that water power projects larger than 200 megawatts of energy and larger are subject to environmental assessment. The capacity of the Big Falls station would be from 8 to 10 megawatts. Despite MNR's policies on hydro development, Dadenman and her supporters have taken other steps in stopping the dam's construction.
One of the things we did was we had to convince our leadership, our chief and council, that they shouldn't buy into a partnership there, and that this is one place where they can pass up a monetary situation and just protect it for defending the land, defending a traditional migration route, defending all the stories of that area. And we say one of the things we want to do in the future, like in the very near future, is for our chief and council to declare a river park from this lake, because there's a conservation reserve here, and Trout Lake is a conservation reserve. So if Lac Seul would declare this a river park, it would join the two conservation reserves, and we could start developing that as canoeing, as walking trails along the river, lots of camping. And a part of our strategy was a letter writing campaign to our chief and council, and copied those letters to the other two chiefs and councils. And this winter, our leadership changed their position and decided to support us, which was really incredible. It really gave us a big boost, and it was a year of work, but it was nice. I enjoyed it because I talked to a lot of our people, spent a lot of time with them, and to get their opinions on paper, to get their stories on paper, it was a very rewarding experience. So it was a good part of the strategy, and it worked. It worked. Even if Lac Seul hadn't switched, it was still a really good.
In an archaeological study done in the area by Woodland Heritage Services Limited for Horizon, concluded that it is likely that an ancient portage trail existed near the location, but they did not find evidence for it. They also say that the terrain made it unlikely for campsites, and nothing of consequence was found in the area immediately adjacent to the proposed site. However, Dannenman is not convinced.
They didn't believe that there was any that anybody was up there using the area, but they didn't talk to the local community, because first of all, they don't recognize us as a community, because we don't fall under the definition of Indian Affairs for what a community is. Okay, so this is a part of our people's, our ancestors' traditional migration route. They traveled in the springtime from Trout Lake and moved down to Lac Seul for the summer, and came back when the mountain ash berries started to get ripe, and back in time for the harvest of the wild rice in the beginning of September. Well, first of all, we are a part of Treaty 3. We are signatories to Treaty 3. We didn't sign the treaty until a year later. So the chiefs and councils, Lac Seul, Seul Trout, and Sturgeon Lakes. So we didn't sign until June 1874. The original treaty was in October 1873. The treaty was signed in the furthest southwest corner of the area, and we are the furthest north. And so in October, our people were in the middle of getting ready for the winter. They had just finished the wild rice harvest. They were working on the whitefish and trout harvest at this point, and there was just no way they could leave to go be part of the treaty negotiations. So they signed this the following year. And when Lac Seul was surveyed, I forget what year it was, but they did it late in the year. and they didn't want to go any further north to do any more surveying, so they didn't. So what Indian Affairs did was they lumped us in with Lac Seul.
Okay.
They did that also with Sturgeon Lake, and now Sturgeon Lake eventually got their own reserve because of this, and they're Saugeen, they're the Saugeen First Nation. So that river is very important. Like, our people traveled it at least twice a year, like downriver and then back up again. Some people lived along the river, some of the lakes down there, so there was always visiting going on. And so that there's a lot of stories on the river. And we always say that every rock, every bend in the river, every campsite is it's where the stories are kept.
If you want more information on the effort to save Big Falls, visit Let's Save Big Falls on Facebook.